Well, greetings, one and all, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the King of all kings and the Lord of lords. He's the head of our church, and to him we give all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's a blessing again to share God's word with you again this morning. And as we continue our sermon series entitled People Who Have Encountered Jesus, we're going to be taking a look at a familiar encounter in John's Gospel, John chapter 4. And this is the woman at the well, the woman at Jacob's well. So I'm going to just refresh again your memory, John chapter 4, and then we're going to commence reading from verse number 4. And it reads like this, reading from Eugene Peterson's Message paraphrase of the Bible. To get there, he had to pass through Samaria. He came into Sychar, a Samaritan village that bordered the field Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was still there. And Jesus, worn out by the trip, sat down at the well. It was noon. A woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. Jesus said, "Would you give me a drink of water?" His disciples had gone to the village to buy food for lunch. The Samaritan woman, taken aback, asked, "How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" Jews in those days would have been caught dead talking to Samaritans. And Jesus answered, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh living water." The woman said, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with, and this well is deep. So how are you going to get this living water? Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it? He and his sons and livestock, and passed it down to us?" And Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. And anyone who drinks the water I give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life." Gushing fountains of endless life. I want to look again just at the close of verse number 10, our key verse. "I would give you fresh living water." I would give you fresh living water. I want to speak from this thought and question this morning. What are you drinking? What are you drinking? Or what would you like to drink? Is a common question that is unilaterally etched into our culture and our hospitality. Whether the question is raised amongst a group of friends venturing out to the local pub or restaurant, and someone takes the lead by ordering everyone's favorite drink of choice, or whether it be around the home of a friend or a relative, and before delving into some stimulating conversation, an offer is typically made by the host. What would you like to drink? And it's amazing, friends, this simple question, what would you like to drink? Or what are you drinking? This simple question can often facilitate and stimulate some interesting conversations and time of bonding. Even in our local church, One of the many things that we miss severely is meeting together in the church fellowship hall to talk, to share with one another, to share about what's been happening in our week, to share prayer points with each other, and even to share a joke or two with a cup of tea or coffee in one hand and a smile on the face. And it's amazing, church, that some of the most pivotal and inspiring moments in our lives can often take place around the simplicity of a cup of tea or coffee. And as we are right in the middle of yet another national lockdown, with restaurants and bars closed and restrictions on home visits and no more fellowship after church around a cup of tea or coffee, and we certainly miss those interactions with our friends and loved ones. And in that manner, this morning here in John chapter 4, at the scene of our text, seemingly there is yet another lockdown. There is another societal lockdown taking place in John chapter 4 that has caused social distancing between the Jews and the Samaritans. Now, the cause of this lockdown was not the result of a global pandemic. However, the social distancing at the scene of our text was the result of historical tensions that dated back to the patriarchs in the Bible. And the tensions between the two were so severe that the Jews and the Samaritans would have no dealings or interactions. Samaritans who developed a hybrid faith that would worship both Jehovah and false idols. They would include sacrifices to false idol gods, and they were looked down on by the Jewish community, and they were hated with such severity that even if traveling through Samaria was the shortest route for the Jews, they would often opt for taking the longer route so that they would avoid encountering or dealing with the Samaritans. But yet still, here comes Jesus, who was on his way back to Galilee from the countryside of Judea. And instead of following the protocols of society, instead of adhering to the social distancing requirements woven into his Jewish roots, Jesus, he looks at his disciples and he says, "I must go through Samaria. I must go through Samaria." And yes, I know what the cultural norms of the day are. I know what it may look like to my fellow Jews. But yet still, my assignment is clear. I must go through Samaria. In other words, friends, there is a purpose that must be fulfilled in Samaria, even in a place that is considered out of bounds for the Jews, even in a place where there is no dealings amongst the people. There is a purpose for me traveling through Samaria. And friends, can I encourage you this morning that sometimes God may lead us to places and encounters with the unfamiliar, to places that may be out of our comfort zones. But if God is calling us to such places and to encounter such cultures, then our response should be like Jesus: yes, I will go. Because the unfamiliar could be exactly where God wants us to be. So Jesus, he looked at his disciples and he said, I must go through Samaria. And as Jesus journeyed through Samaria, he came to Sychar, the Samaritan village, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob had left for his son Joseph. And he stopped by Jacob's well. And at the noon hour, a woman comes to the well to draw water. And this woman, evidently, she would encounter more than she could have ever hoped for. She had come to Jacob's well for water to quench her thirst, but she would ultimately leave Jacob's well experiencing water from another source. And church, it's interesting that last week we looked at the encounter of Zacchaeus in Luke's gospel, where the encounter with Jesus was slightly different. Because Zacchaeus, he knew, he had some foreknowledge that Jesus was passing through Jericho. So he made some prior preparations. He understood that he was short in stature. So he climbed the sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus as he passed by. However, on this occasion, the woman at the well had no idea whatsoever that by coming to Jacob's well, that she would encounter the Messiah. She had no idea. She left her home. She journeyed to the well with one item on the agenda, and that was to draw water. But in a totally unexpected fashion, she encountered the Messiah at the well. And can you imagine her surprise and shock? The fact that a Jewish man was sitting by the well in Samaria and asking the woman why she has not offered him a drink. Can I encourage you this morning that some of the greatest blessings in life are those that we never even expected? Can I tell you, friends, if you would have told me 7 years ago that I would be serving in ministry in a town called Sittingbourne, in a postcode that starts with the letter M, I would have said that you are crazy, when all I had ever knew was the familiar surroundings of Southeast London. Born in Lewisham Hospital, raised in Catford, the hustle of city life is all I had ever known. And raised in a church with a strong Jamaican culture and background, where after church services, it was the norm to go downstairs to the fellowship hall and have a Jamaican patty, some bun and cheese, and wash it down with some fruit punch. That was the order of business in the fellowship hall. But now here I am, familiar with a cup of coffee in one hand and a biscuit in the other. And if you would have told me 7 years ago that I would be here in Sittingbourne serving in ministry, I would have said, no way. But can I tell you, friends, that one of the greatest blessings in my life over the past 5 years, this coming April, is to have connected with this local church, to now have many friends in Sittingbourne, and to serve in ministry with you all here in Kent. It's an encounter that I would have never imagined. And I'm so glad this morning that God's ways are not our ways, that his thoughts are not our thoughts, because he knows what's best for us. He knows the number of hairs that's on our heads. And even when he leads us to encounter the unfamiliar As long as he is leading, then our prayer ought to be, where he leads, I will follow. That I'll go with Jesus all the way. And even if it's to a place and a destination that is beyond the realm of my comfort zone, if Jesus is leading me there, then our response should be, yes, Lord, I will follow. So may I encourage you this morning, that could it be that God is calling us to encounter the unfamiliar? Is God calling us out of our comfort zone? Is there something that he is prompting us to do that is beyond the sphere of comfortability? And despite the challenge, even if it looks unfamiliar and out of your comfort zone, if you trust in God all the way, then friends, every step of the way, he will walk with you and he will guide your footsteps. And I speak this morning from experience that it would all make sense when you follow the will of God. Hallelujah. So the woman at the well, she's stunned. She's perplexed that a Jewish man is engaging in conversation with her. But the topic and the conversation is interesting because, number one, Jesus begins a short crash course on the difference between physical water and spiritual or living water. Physical water versus spiritual water. You see, the woman had obviously come to draw water from the well. But Jesus desired to open the woman's understanding beyond the natural and physical water to discuss matters pertaining to the soul. And using the same theme of water, Jesus says in verse number 13 that everyone who drinks the water from this well, from Jacob's well, will ultimately become thirsty again. But anyone who drinks the water that I give will never thirst again. In other words, lady, the water that you have come to draw from at Jacob's well, despite its importance, despite its significance, despite the fact that the human body needs water to function, that without water you will become dehydrated and damage the organs in the body. However, although physical water is important, there is another source, another well that can provide water, not just for the body, but water for the soul. You see, lady, you have come to Jacob's well to draw physical water for your body, but your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and your spirit is still severely parched. And church, this is a major problem for the world today, because we know where to go in order to satisfy the thirst of our bodies. But oftentimes, when it comes to our mind, our emotions, and our spirit, if we're not careful, the world can offer us a host of different wells that if we draw from those wells and consume them on a daily basis, they can often take us away from a vibrant relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And whether it is unhealthy addictions, habitual sins, toxic relationships and friendships. If we open our hearts to the devices of this world, then they can become like an addictive drug that never truly leaves us satisfied. That's why sometimes you have individuals whose bank accounts can be overflowing with money. Fame and fortune is the order of their lives. Luxurious house, multiple cars on the drive, but internally they are still not satisfied because there's still a longing of the heart for something else. It's a longing that is searching for a deeper sense of fulfillment, which leads me to my second point this morning, the results of a thirsty soul. That after Jesus begins to break down the difference between physical and natural water and the spiritual life-giving water that Jesus can offer, he then begins to discuss with the woman the results of a thirsty soul. Because if we go to the wrong sources to satisfy the thirst of our soul, then ultimately a thirsty soul will result in thirsty actions. Look what Jesus says to the woman in verse 16. He says, "Go and call your husband." Sudden move away from water to relationships. Jesus here, he gets to the heart of the matter. He says, "Go and call your husband." And the woman responds by saying, "I don't have a husband." And she was accurate in her response, because Jesus, in a prophetic manner, he let her know that she's actually had five husbands, and the man that she's living with now is not her husband. And this, friends, is the result of a thirsty soul. Because, church, without Jesus, the soul can often look and seek for pleasure in all the wrong places. And the ramifications of this woman's thirst was evidently clear. She was perhaps seeking for fulfillment and love through relationships that, for whatever reason, would time after time come to a premature end. And friends, when we look at our nation and even into our community, there is a harvest of people who are searching and seeking fulfillment. They are looking to satisfy the thirst of their souls. But the problem is, friends, that oftentimes we are looking in the wrong places. And consequently, the results of a thirsty soul are obvious, according to Paul, as he wrote to the church in Galatia. It's the results of a thirsty soul. He says, "The acts of the flesh are sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred and discord, jealousy, fits of rage," and the list goes on and on and on. It's the results of seeking fulfillment in that which is temporal and short term. And church, this is not just a problem for those who are not yet Christians, because as the Church of the Living God, we too have to guard our hearts and be careful with looking for fulfillment in the wrong places. But friends, if you are thirsty this morning and looking for something to satisfy the taste buds of your soul, then don't look to the sources and wells of this life that can offer you a short-term sense of satisfaction and happiness. But only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can cleanse your heart and make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew, sweet love and joy and heaven too. For only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Oh yes, the song goes on to say that you could have all the fame and fortune and wealth that could be obtained, but without Christ within, your living here would be in vain. And oh yes, there'll come a time when death shall call you, and the riches will not be able to help you then. So come to Jesus, for He can satisfy your soul. Hallelujah. And friends, when we yield our thirsty soul to the Lord Jesus, a soul that has been left parched by the fragments of sin, and when we give our souls to the Lord Jesus, then in turn we can live our lives in the Spirit, because the refreshing water that comes from the well of Jesus Christ will cause us not to gratify the desires of our flesh, but it will cause us to walk in the Spirit. And those results will look so much better. No more impurity, no more fits of rage, no more selfish ambition. Because now the soul is truly quenched. We can display the fruit of the Spirit, of love and joy and peace and forbearance and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, to name a few. So number one, friends, Jesus wanted the woman to understand the difference between physical water and spiritual water. And number two, Jesus dealt with the results of a thirsty soul. The fact that the woman had multiple relationships and yet still she was not satisfied. But third and finally this morning, we also see here the results of a satisfied soul. The results of a satisfied soul. Now, after the discussion at Jacob's well had transitioned from water to relationships, the conversation then changed to worship and the true identity of Jesus Christ. After Jesus had revealed to the woman that she had five husbands and the man that she was living with now was not her own, the woman perceived Jesus to be a prophet. And then she went on to say that you Jews, you worship in Jerusalem, but us Samaritans, we worship in the mountain, in Mount Gerizim, the place where the Samaritans would worship both Jehovah and false idols. However, Jesus said something liberating that is so relevant for our time even today. Because Jesus let her know that the time is coming and now is where the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Eugene Peterson, in a message, he puts it this way, that your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That those who worship Him must do so out of their very being, their true selves in adoration. You see, lady, you think you know the appropriate place to worship, but your heart is not in alignment with truth. You worship out of a perceived knowledge, but your soul is still thirsty for truth. In other words, in order to truly satisfy the soul, one must know whom they worship. We must understand who we are worshiping. In other words, lady, don't allow your culture and tradition in Samaria to get in the way of seeking authenticity in worship. Jesus says, salvation is of the Jews. That what you have been looking for, that what you have been searching for, what your soul has been longing for, Jesus has now given you the remedy to satisfy the soul. Because Jesus is the wellspring of life that will never run dry. So instead of drinking from the well of broken relationships, instead of drinking the well of broken promises and cheap thrills, look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith, because God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. So, lady, you don't need to look any further. But the man that you have encountered at Jacob's well is more than just a man. He's more than just a prophet. That he is the Son of the living God. And here's the good news. He's all that you could ever need. You don't need to look for anyone else or anything else to satisfy your soul, because Jesus is the source to satisfy the longing of your soul. And what I love about this woman's encounter with Jesus is, after talking about water, after talking about the appropriate place and source to worship, and after coming to terms with who she had really encountered, she left her water pots by Jacob's well and she ran back into the city of Samaria and she shared the good news of her encounter. Because a satisfied soul, friends, will feel the urge and the need to share such satisfaction with others. And she told the men in the city, "Come see a man which told me all things that I ever done. Is this not the Christ?" And friends, not only did the woman find water of another kind, but the men who followed her to meet Jesus, they too encountered the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Look what the men in the city of Samaria had to say about their encounter with Jesus. "Now, we are no longer taking this on your say-so, but now we have heard it for ourselves and know it for sure that he's the savior of the world." He's the savior of the world. So the results of a satisfied soul is eternal satisfaction and fulfillment. The results of a satisfied soul is a burning desire to share the good news with others. And yes, the thief has come. He uses the devices of this world to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the good news of our faith, that Jesus has come, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So the answer to our question this morning, what are you drinking? Whatever your drink of choice is this morning, may I encourage you to drink from the greatest well that you could ever have in this life. It's living water. And when you drink from this well, friends, you will never, ever thirst again. Everything else in this world may satisfy you for just a short period of time, but only Jesus can truly satisfy your soul. So here's my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup. Fill it up and make me whole. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much that through this woman's encounter in John chapter 4, it teaches us the importance of drinking from the wellspring of life, to avoid seeking fulfillment in all the wrong places, in places that only offer short-term solutions and short-term fixes. But thank you that you have provided the perpetual and eternal gift, the ultimate sacrifice, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I pray for anyone here this morning that may be watching this broadcast that has yet to drink from the wellspring of life. I pray, like the woman at the well, that they may drop their water pots this morning and run to the wellspring of life. Come see a man that told me all things, whichever I did. Is this not the Christ? So, Father, as we continue to look to you, who is the source of our strength and the strength of our lives, it's in you that we live, it's in you that we move, and it's in you that we have our very being. We'll continue to trust you all the way. And in like manner, even if you lead us to places that are not comfortable to us, that are unfamiliar, we pray that we would have the courage to trust you every step of the way, knowing that if you lead us to it, that you will see us through. So we pray now that you will receive all the glory out of this time of sharing. And as we move forward in this service to partake of communion, we thank you that we can continue to drink from the cup that will never run dry. So we love you, we bless you now. In Jesus' name, amen.